It's Ian Pickus here in the Congressional Corner today with Massachusetts Congressman Richard Neal, a first district Democrat in office since 1989. So as we speak, Congressman Neal, the funding for the government to stay open is not in place beyond September 30th. What's in your crystal ball?
I think the government has to be funded. I think that the current Speaker of the House has the same problem that the former Speaker of the House, McCarthy, had, and that is that he's on a short leash. I think it's going to be very hard for him to, again, accommodate the competing interests within the Republican Party. This is what the majority is supposed to do, pass the budget.
You were there when this same sort of dynamic really blew up in Newt Gingrich's face. I've been trying to understand why it would be good politics for a shutdown to happen on October 1st for either party. I don't see it, but I'm an outsider. You're an insider. So do you think Republicans might actually not get together?
Well, I hope that they understand what recent history has told us, and that is I saw what Bill Clinton did to Newt Gingrich. He essentially put him out of business with the government shutdowns. And then Barack Obama stared down John Boehner with the government shutdowns. And in both cases, it is not hard to discern that Republicans know the consequence of shutting down a government. They are going to get blamed for it. And they know that. Johnson knows it. The problem Johnson's got is that he's got eight recalcitrants on his side who are determined to have their own way in a legislative body where some days you don't get your own way, the result of which is the following. He is likely to come up with a series of gimmicks that, in fact, could cost him his job. My sense is he will not be the Speaker of the House in January, regardless of whether or not they retain the majority. There's enough dissent on his own side amongst that group I just described. They do not want any accommodation with Democrats, none. And, you know, they must take a look at what they did with their tax cuts. Spending has gone up largely because of initiatives that they embraced, including defense, pandemic relief, and some legislative initiatives. But for them to blame Democrats when they're the majority, and again, reiterating, the job of the majority in a legislative body is to pass the budget.
Now, Johnson, of course, was not the first choice when McCarthy was ousted. It took a lot of rounds to get to Johnson. So if he's not going to be the Republican leader, who is?
Well, the only speculation at the moment, and by the way, in legislative life, there's always a lot of speculation, as you know, much of it unfounded. But the legislative speculation at this time is that Steve Scalise, the majority leader, might be positioning himself to be the eventual speaker. As you know, his name came up the last time around, and he was passed over. Where on our side, generally, the chairs all the way back to my time from Tip to Jim Wright to Tom Foley to Nancy Pelosi, generally the majority leader on that ladder becomes the eventual Speaker of the House. But in the Republican side, that's been upended.
Glad you brought up former Speaker Pelosi. She had quite the summer, to say the least. She played a key role, as far as we understand, in getting the message to President Biden that Democrats were ready for a change. Have you spoken with her lately?
Yes, I have. I had some knowledge based upon the conversation I had with her on the Thursday night before the famous Friday morning MSNBC interview that she was going to do. And she, I think it's fair to say, she changed the whole format of the presidential selection process with that one phone call. And I think Joe Biden, again, generationally, he would take great faith in what she would have to say. I talked to her last week about it. I actually congratulated her for her decisiveness once again. She's been a force in legislative life, and she's a risk taker. And I think that when she said that there has to be a change, she was looking for a Democratic majority in the House, the Senate, and a presidential victory. And for the moment, she looks pretty visionary.
Yeah, so fair to say you thought she was right about that, given the dynamics back in June, July.
You can't ask people to disbelieve what it was they saw. Mm-hmm. And in the age, even when we look at some of these debates where sometimes the outcome of the debate doesn't really move the needle, and we're all still waiting to see what that means from last week's debate, not to miss the point that I saw Mondale win a debate with Reagan. I saw Romney do pretty well against Obama. I saw Bill Clinton do really well against George Bush Sr. But still, the races were close in the end. And I think in the case of Speaker Pelosi, she looked as Machiavelli might at what the outcome was going to be, and she decided she had to intervene, and I'm glad she did.
All right, so a couple policy things before we wrap up. Obviously, immigration and the migrant situation is one of the key issues in this entire presidential race. So given the situation in Massachusetts, where we know shelter space is really at a premium, how would you like to see the situation resolve?
Well, first of all, we should all be appalled at the idea that during a national debate that the former president would embrace the nonsensical argument that Haitian immigrants were kidnapping and eating cats and dogs. I don't think that that serves the American public at a very consequential time. And look, my grandparents were immigrants. I think that we need to value the role that immigrants play. But I also would say that we need to accede to the argument that you need a process. I used the example of having used a Russian tailor, a Portuguese shoemaker, and an Italian barber. All were immigrants, and they all were supportive of immigration. But they also would say to me, I went through a process. And I think that the former president, he succeeded in killing what was to be a process. He told the Republicans not to embrace the immigration bill because it would hurt his candidacy. And then to complain about undocumented Americans where there was a legislative proposal that might have assuaged many of the critics, he refused to undertake it.
What did you think of the Harris proposals with respect to the child tax credit and the small business credit? Obviously, you're on Ways and Means, so you will be looking at this closely if she wins. Are her plans feasible?
Yeah, they are. And remind all as well, I authored the child tax credit that was put in pandemic relief. For all the talk and all those years from the advocates, I inserted the bill. And it worked. It cut childhood poverty in half. I think that many of the other initiatives that we undertook were really important. And we put together a pretty credible tax bill at the time when we were in the majority. So I'm completely aligned with her on enhancing the child tax credit with an understanding it's going to be pricey. But at the same time, I think the fact that we cut childhood poverty in half, wow, what a statistic.
And I know we don't know what the result of the November races will be, but could something like that get through a very narrow Congress?
Yes, it could. Likely in terms of timing, you'd probably want to do as much of it as you could right away. I think the challenge always is when you get closer to an election, it becomes harder to get big things done.
One last thing. There's a growing number of West Nile virus and triple E cases in Massachusetts. Is that something that's on your radar? And should the federal government be doing anything to help the state keep a handle on that?
Sure. And I think that there's been some evidence that we've attempted to do that. I think that the gathering of the data and the information so far has been pretty impressive to me. These are not laymen that are out there trying to put this information together for us. These are real pros. So I'm pleased with the data collecting in the federal government on any issue that rates the sort of consequence of West Nile virus should be a federal response.
Okay. You have a chance maybe to come on again before Election Day. But do you think as we speak right now that Vice President Harris will win the race?
Yes, I do. I'm basing it on the fact that her number has really firmed up in Wisconsin. I think that the path that she's chosen with Pennsylvania is the right one. I think that her lead has been pretty steady during the last couple of weeks, but I'm not naive. I do think that the former president has done better than polling indicated he would. I think there's a reluctance on the part of some people who have supported him to say so on the phone in a polling interview. But she's had a pretty good debate performance. She's had about as good a 7 weeks as you can recall for a presidential candidate. And look, part of the challenge we have with these presidential aspirations for everybody is our campaigns are endless for president. And the result is it's hard to look good over a year. And I think she's had a chance to really put together a pretty good profile by introducing herself to the American people during these last 7 weeks. And so far, without a hitch, so good.
You'll have to ask our friends over the pond there how to do a snap election for the next time around. I don't think I would mind.
Well, this really is a snap election. Yeah. And one of the problems that we have in our political system now is that frequently the winner is the survivor. These campaigns just go on forever. So if you can kind of navigate what it's like to win and contest primaries in 40 plus states, you've got a shot. The problem is that many of our candidates on both sides, they face a lot of scrutiny over those months. And it's harder and harder, as we're seeing now with some of the challenges to the vice president, where we all have pretty much made up our minds about the former president. She's still in the introductory phase.
Well, we'll see what happens, and we'll be sure to ask you about it the next time. Massachusetts Congressman Richard Neal, a Democrat from the 1st District in office since 1989. As ever, we're very grateful for all this time. Congressman Neal, thank you for coming back.
Always pleased to talk to you. Thank you.